Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me."
Thank you, Adam. So our Lenten theme is full to the brim, and we have been contemplating how during the season of Lent, we might prepare ourselves, our hearts, our lives, in order to live more fully into the abundant expanse of life to which God calls us. Many of our scripture readings in Lent have reminded us of God's abundant and expansive love, grace that wants to fill us to the brim with all that we need for the living of these days. Today's text reminds us of something a little different, that we are not only vessels that might be filled with God's love and grace, but that we have the capacity, in fact, the calling, to allow that abundance to spill over from our lives, to flow forth from us in ways that care for, bless, and enrich the people and the world around us. Our scripture reading for today invites us to a dinner party with Jesus, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and at least some of the disciples. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were siblings, and they were close friends and followers of Jesus. The author of this gospel makes a point in reminding us that Lazarus is the one whom Jesus just raised from the dead. It was a big deal. In fact, that event, so scandalous, so threatening to the powerful people, set in motion the whole plot to kill Jesus. But Lazarus isn't the one who is front and center in our reading for today. Rather, it's Mary, his sister. And I imagine Mary was still shook up and kind of bruised over the recent loss and then restoration of her brother. She and her sister Mary had cried out, or Martha had cried out to Jesus in grief, pain, and even anger when Lazarus died and Jesus didn't arrive in time to help. Jesus then raised Lazarus, brought him out of the tomb, brought him back to life, a foreshadowing of his own death and resurrection that was soon at hand. It was Mary, among all of the people present at the dinner party that night, who seemed to see or sense something different, having just been visited so profoundly by death. She seemed to know that death was still somehow near, that time was now short for her beloved friend and teacher Jesus. And what many of us know is that things shift and change when death is near, when we find that time is suddenly short. Working as a hospice chaplain, I witnessed that reality many times over. Oftentimes, words unspoken finally spill out, finding their way to voice. Sometimes walls come down and hesitancies are overcome, allowing gestures of love, support, forgiveness, reconciliation to be extended more freely and openly than in ordinary times. And I have to believe that it was because Mary sensed the nearness of death, that time was short, that she did such a brazen thing. Without speaking a word, she took perfume, anointing oil, probably worth a year's income, and poured it on Jesus' feet, wiping his feet with her hair. Annie Dillard is known among authors for her writing advice that says this: spend it all, shoot it, play it, lose it all, right away, every time. Do not hoard what seems good for a later place. Give it all, give it now. It could be good advice for life at times too. And in many respects, that's just what Mary did. Right in the middle of a dinner party, Mary did something that seemed wasteful, too sensual, too weird, a little inappropriate. She apparently didn't care how it looked. She didn't hold back. She gave it all, communicating tenderness, compassion, and deep, abiding love for Jesus, perhaps sensing all he would have to endure in the coming days, knowing he would not be with them much longer. Judas was the one to interrupt this rather intimate moment with his blustery protest. In other Gospels, it was all of the disciples who objected, but in John's Gospel, it's just Judas. But if we're honest, most of us would probably admit to struggling right here a little bit too. Even if we're not big fans of Judas, we can likely see his point, right? Here at PBUMC, we have Project Grace, a program that provides a hot meal to hungry people every week. It's a vital, essential part of our ministry. It is part of who we are. And it's expensive. We are always looking for grant money or new income sources to supplement the Project Grace budget so we can keep doing this important work, sharing this important ministry in our community. The perfume that Mary lavished on Jesus was worth a lot of money. It could have, maybe it should have been sold so the proceeds could help the poor. Well, Jesus shut down that line of thinking pretty quickly, saying, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." And because these can be challenging, even troubling verses, I want to unpack them just a little bit. First, Jesus referenced the fact that Mary's gesture was one that anticipated his death and began the process of preparing his body for burial. Such perfume or anointing oil was part of the ritual of burial, used primarily to mitigate the smell of decomposition. So Jesus came to Mary's defense, acknowledging that she saw, knew, perceived that something important, something hard was about to happen. Second, Jesus said this odd thing about the poor interpreted by some to be rather cold and callous, as if helping the poor was a losing battle. We, with our modern day ears, often fail to hear what Jewish people of that day and age would have heard, because Jesus' words would have brought to mind verses from Hebrew scripture. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, "There are always going to be poor and needy people among you. So I command you, always be generous. Open purse and hands. Give to your neighbors in trouble, your poor and hurting neighbors." Meaning, we are constantly to be about addressing the needs of the poor. It is our posture, our orientation, our disposition, always. Jesus' words evoked a memory of that command, that overarching truth, while at the same time affirming Mary for recognizing that critical moment, for marking the moment in a way that was tender and important and necessary. It was not a time for frugality, and Mary got that. She wasn't frugal with this precious perfume, and she wasn't frugal in her expression of faith. She gave it. She gave it all. She gave it right then. And for her contemporaries and for all of us, marked a sweet moment of stillness amid a gathering storm. As I thought about that this week, what Mary did for Jesus, creating this moment that overflowed with an abundance of beauty and life and love, even in the shadow of death, I couldn't help but think of some similar moments in history. I was reminded of the Titanic and the musicians, you remember, who played on deck as long as they could in order to comfort the passengers on the sinking ship. My mind and heart went to contemporary parallels as well. I imagine most of us have seen these news reports and video clips from Ukraine. Professional musicians playing in bombed out streets. Moms pausing to play a few final notes on the pianos in their destroyed homes before leaving them forever. Children bravely singing songs to cheer and encourage others in what was once a subway station but is now a makeshift bomb shelter. They are gut-wrenching scenes that pierce our hearts with bittersweet reminders of courage and resilience and hope, everlasting hope, even in the shadow of death. This passage invites us, as we move toward the final days of Lent, to consider how our lives might overflow with brazen acts of faith. And I'll be the first one to admit, this goes completely against the grain of who I am. Some of you are much more natural candidates for this than I will ever be. You're more naturally brazen, because I'm a little bit of a control freak, if you haven't learned that about me yet. I am somewhat measured and reserved. I look and listen, think and pray before I act. I don't like to draw attention to myself. I have rarely, if ever, done anything in my life that could be described as brazen. I remember a time in my childhood when my family visited Washington, D.C., and the cherry trees were in full bloom. It was beautiful, and I was so taken. I was so moved by the beauty of it all that I felt like I wanted to take off and run through the trees and to flail my arms and to sing a song, but I didn't. Even then, that wasn't my nature. But Jenny, my sister, did. She did. Right before my eyes, she did the exact thing that I wanted to do. And we all smiled and laughed and rolled our eyes, a little embarrassed by her outburst. All the while, I was wishing that I had joined her. And admittedly, I am still reluctant to put myself out there and do something that might be considered brazen. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe I've got it in me. Maybe with God's help, I can get there. We can all get there. I have to wonder how much Mary understood about what she was doing. Did she fully understand the impact of her actions? Or was she responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, acting when she felt led and compelled to act, even without fully understanding what it would all mean? I don't think it matters. Either way, she was part of marking a moment in a way that made a difference to Jesus in the coming difficult days, and in a way that made a difference to the whole Christian story as it's been passed down to generations since. As we move through Lent toward Holy Week, may we remember Mary and be inspired by her brazenness, her act of excessive, unreserved, abundant faith. May we pay attention to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as they come to us in the context of our lives. May we not err on the side of frugality, but may we be bold and courageous in expressions of faith and love, knowing that we too are a part of the story still being told of God's liberating, saving, and transforming love. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please join me in our affirmation of faith. I believe in beauty, beauty pulled into being by our Creator, beauty that catches our breath, beauty that turns us toward awe. I believe in courage, courage to believe, courage to stand up for the people we love, courage to love without hesitations. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who prays for us when we cannot, who is brave for us when we are not. I believe in Jesus Christ, who stood up for Mary, who quieted the voices of critique, who welcomed every bit of relationship. I believe in God. I believe in God who believes in us. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we come together to worship you, to offer our thanks and our praise. We gather in the light of your love, trusting that you meet us in this place with all that we need this day. We come with joys and sorrows, knowing that this is a safe place to bring all of our life experiences, all of what we feel and think, all of what we fear and hope. Be with those who are in need. Draw near to those of us here and those known to us who are hurting in body, mind, or spirit. Envelop us in your healing, protective spirit until we are able to move forward, taking steps, even ever so small, toward new life. We pray for the end of violence in Ukraine and in every place that is war-torn. We abhor the blatant disregard for life and pray for your mercy, your peace, your justice to make its way into hearts and places that feel utterly broken, hardened, or hopeless. Turn our hearts again and again to the needs of those who have been displaced. Inspire us to acts of faith and love that truly overflow with your divine compassion. Draw us into the expanse of life you intend for us, and through our words and actions, let your love spill forth from who we are and how we are in your world. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.